Tonight, we're going to talk about Christ in you. We've been talking about the life of Christ. We've looked at the life of Christ, but now I want to move into the life of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So we've been studying his life. We've looked at his life. We've looked at how he taught. We've looked at how he was obedient. We've looked at the model that he set up for us. But now I want us to look at who he is in us. And who are we because he is in us? So the first scripture I want you to turn to then is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to go slower tonight. You'll be able to keep up with me. We're going to slow the pace down, okay? So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The life that we now live, we live in Christ. It's Christ that lives in us. We are in him. We are in Christ. He is in us. That's a good one. You should have that one underlined if you don't. Christ in you. It's not you that lives, but it's Christ in you. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loves you. Now let's go ahead and flip over to Colossians chapter 1. We want verses 26 and 27. All right, in the King James it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're looking at who is Christ in us? Who are we because he is in us? So we see the life that we now live, we live in Christ. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if we look through the New Testament, we can find many scriptures that will have something to say about who we are in him, what we can do in him or through him. We're going to focus on some of those tonight. Jesus, when he was on this earth, and we see when his ministry started from the time that he then went to the cross, we see that he was constantly confessing or saying who he was and what his mission was here on this earth. Now, we are to model after him. And if we're to model after him, it means that there's something that we can learn from even the way that he was speaking about himself. It was always positive. It was always faith-filled. He often spoke about things to come as though they'd already occurred. Remember when we talked about, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am. I am, I am, I am. Speaking of himself in present tense, even of things that were to come. There's something that we can learn from that. Constantly talking about who he was. Constantly talking about his mission in life. Now, therefore, we can take that and apply that to ourselves. That means that we should be talking about who we are. We should be talking about what we're called to do. Well, how do we know who we are? Well, the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Word of God is full of scriptures that tell you who you are in Christ. And we're going to go over some of them tonight. And there was a little book that you read called In Him last quarter with Pastor Brad's class on righteousness. You know, this is going to cover some of that, give you an idea of where we're going. Jesus said, my words are life. And I want you to understand this before we go further into some of these scriptures. He said his words were life. When God spoke the world into being, there was creative power released in his words because he did it through speaking. The Holy Spirit performed it on this earth. But remember that the Holy Spirit was here on earth and nothing happened until God spoke. Even though the Holy Spirit was here, he was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was here, but nothing happened until God spoke. There are promises that are written in the Word of God that are written for Donna, that are written for Regina, that are written for all of you. And they're real and they're true, but they may not be made manifest in your life until you believe them and speak them. Because there's something about the power of the spoken word. So we see when we look in the Gospels that Jesus talked to us about speaking to the mountain. And he says, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. But that will apply both ways, positive or negative. So if somebody is saying, I just can't do it, I'm just not good enough, I'm not a good enough Christian, I'm not hitting the target, I'm not making it, they're speaking words that are not in line with Scripture, and they're words of defeat, not success. But the Word of God says that he always causes you to triumph in Christ. So do you see how those words are not what the words that God set in motion for you? They're not in agreement. They're not in line with the words that God set in motion for you. Do you see that? So as we look through the New Testament, we see scripture after scripture full of promises of who we are in Christ and what we're called to do, what we can do, but we've got to get our mouth to line up with what God said. So we're going to spend some time looking at some of these scriptures, but I want you to understand this before we move into some of these so that you're going to grab a hold of these verses, grab a hold of these scriptures so that they become life to you. But they become manifest or they become real to you when you hook up your faith on them and you speak them out of your mouth. Then you're in agreement with God. Remember, the Holy Spirit was here on the earth. That means the manifest presence of God was there. So you may be in your bedroom and the presence of God is there just waiting. Come on, Julie, what are you going to say when you wake up this morning? What are you going to say? I'm so tired. I can't believe I have to wake up this early. I hate this job. Seriously, what are we going to say? Here's the presence of God. He's with you. He's around you. He's surrounding you. Or are we going to say, praise the Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. I go from glory to glory. Good things await me at work today.
Amen.
Right? We set things in motion every day. Those things that we're setting in motion on a daily basis are becoming what we've set in motion for our life. So are they important? Yes, they are important. So we want to set in motion some things that God has already declared. All we're going to do is agree with him.
Amen.
We're going to agree with him. Let me explain it to you this way. It's a little bit like if we talk about electricity. With electricity, we know that the power is available, but the power isn't made what I'm going to call manifest until somebody switches the switch on. But the power's here, the power is available, but we don't receive the benefits of it until somebody accesses it properly. Do you understand that? The words that God's put in Scripture for you about his promises to you are real, they're here for you, but they're not necessarily automatic. You've got to tap into them by using the switch of faith, and your words turn that switch on. Do you understand what I'm saying in this? Okay, your words will activate the promises of God. It's like electricity in the natural realm is like the power of God in the spiritual realm. The power of God's available, even though it may be invisible to our eyes, but it's available. Faith activates it. Just like that switch activates the lights. So we need to know how to activate the power of God. We need to know how to activate the promises in his word. And it is faith, and it's with our mouth. It's with speaking words. So we want to keep the switch of faith turned on by activating it with our words. Now, with that said, we're going to move into looking in a closer way some of the truths in Scripture. They're real in the spiritual realm, but we need to get them to become real to us in the physical realm. That's where we take a hold of them. They're true, but we've got to get them activated. It would be kind of like this. Somebody saying, Fred got saved last night. Well, technically, that's not exactly accurate. Everything for Fred to be saved was done 2,000 years ago. The work for him to be saved was done 2,000 years ago. He just agreed with it, tapped into it, and received it maybe last night. Do you see the difference there? But the work was done. Well, it's the same way for healing. It's the same way for prosperity. The work was done by Jesus a long time ago. But by our faith and by our words, we tap into it. Everybody with me? So we want to act on the promises of God by learning what they are and confessing them. We've got to know who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ. And this is part of the abundant life that he brought for us. That's been our main text for this scripture. Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and they might have abundant life. They might have it abundantly. Abundant life. In other words, he didn't just come to bring you eternal life, but an abundance with that eternal life. He's not just going to give you eternal life so that you can be with him in heaven and suffer while you're down here on this earth. That's not his plan. He came to bring you that eternal life, but an abundant life to be supplied to you while you're here on this earth. Well, what is that abundant life? Well, we see it through the redemptive realities of Christ, that he redeemed us from poverty and from sickness and from spiritual death. But now we're going to look at who we are in him and get an even greater understanding of what he's done for us. In John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. We're going to focus on that a little bit tonight. I am the good shepherd. And our focus is good. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He is your good shepherd. He's your Lord and he's your caretaker. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. That means I do not want for strength. I do not want for endurance. I do not want for finances. I do not want for anything. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. So this needs to become our confession. And your brain, your head, might go, but that hasn't been my experience. But this didn't happen, and that didn't happen. And I wanted this, and I wanted that. But see, we've got to get out of the doubt realm and get out of what our past experience has been. And that's key. Because sometimes you've got to overcome what's happened in the past and replace it with what the Word of God says. Okay? Just because maybe you didn't walk in this as full as you could have or in the fullness doesn't mean it's not true. Okay, but what you've got to do is make a choice then. Am I going to believe and stay in my past experiences if this is the way it's been? Or am I going to go ahead and cling to the Word of God and say, I'm going to choose to believe the Word of God over past experience? I'm going to choose to believe the Word of God over the thoughts that may run through my mind. Now, this may help you if you haven't heard this before. Listen, you can have doubt in your head and still receive the blessings from God. You can have thoughts run through your mind that may question some of the things you're standing on in faith, and know that that's actually okay, because faith is not of the mind, it's of the heart. So it's okay if thoughts may hit you of like, yeah, but how am I going to make this deadline? And your spirit's got to just rise up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will make the deadline. I will make this deadline. I can do it, and I will do it. And you can just kind of say, I may not know how right now, but I will know how, and it will come to pass, and it will happen. Faith is of the heart. It's of the spirit. So, hey, if a thought here or there comes by, don't worry about it. What's in your heart? See, because sometimes people get caught up thinking too much in the mind, and then they think, oh, I just don't have enough faith. That's why. Well, as soon as you say that, you basically disqualified yourself. Do you see that? So don't let the devil then trick you into thinking you don't have enough faith. You do. A mustard seed is sufficient. Just because the devil wants to pop a thought to your mind, don't let him tear you down. You just override that. You overcome that with the Word of God. What did Jesus do? He quoted scripture back to the devil. You quote the Word. So you let the Word of God come back out of your mouth, not the devil's thoughts, or not the doubt that may come to your mind. Don't give the doubt that comes to your mind a voice, but deal with it, take authority over it. And sometimes there is a battle. And so I'll tell you what, though, don't fight silent. Because a lot of times people, they're by themselves, or they're at work, or whatever, So they're silently battling this battle of the mind. Get to a place where you can go out loud and say some things. Even if you have to excuse yourself and go to the restroom, if you have to do it at your lunch break, but if you're battling stuff in the mind, get somewhere where you can take authority over that and you speak out how it's going. You speak the word of God out. You don't win silent. You got to say something. And people that are kind of quiet or they like to just kind of pray a lot by themselves and just, you know, well, God knows all my thoughts. Yes, he does know your thoughts, but he still told you to ask. He does know all your thoughts, but he still told you how to move the mountain. And he didn't say it was by thinking it. This is key. Seriously. It's not. He didn't say think to that mountain. He said speak to the mountain. Why? Because from the very beginning when he created the universe, he did it with words. He said in his words, there's life. His words are life. His words are health. His words. His words. All right, we've got some areas that we're real familiar with. Jesus, the good shepherd, gave us eternal life. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's key right there. The law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are free from sin. Remember me talking to you about you've already been given the victory? You already have it. You've already been set free. You've already been set free because you have the Spirit of the life of Christ at work in you. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he covered us in finances. He was made poor so that we could be made rich. We know that the scripture says that he delights in the prosperity of his servants. And Philippians 4:19 says that he will supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ. In Christ, the in Christ. Even the scripture about the Spirit of life in Christ. That's who you are. You're in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're talking about who Jesus is. But it's not enough to just study who he is because it doesn't end there. That's not the end of the book. The end of the book, well, before he went up, he turned over the mission and the assignment to the body of Christ. He delegated the work. That means he's the head of the body of Christ, but you are the body. Christ in you. He's your head. He's your Lord, but he's working in you and through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why is Christ in you the hope of glory? Because his hope is that you'll go get the lost saved, that you'll go tell them about him. Because his hope in you is that you're going to preach the gospel. Because his hope in you is that you're going to disciple. That's his hope in you. His hope in you is that you're going to minister life through worship. His hope in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're his hands and his feet. You're doing the work on this earth. Jesus, the good shepherd, covered us in the area of healing. By his stripes, ye were healed. Himself bore our infirmities, carried away our diseases. He did it for you. Christ in you covered you for healing. The good shepherd, Jesus, provided forgiveness of sins through his blood. And let's go ahead and look at those. Ephesians 1:7. We're just going to look at one. You can write down Colossians 1, 13, and 14 if you want. We'll just read one of them for now. Ephesians 1, 7. In him, again, this is what we're talking about tonight, who we are in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Praise the Lord. He lavished it upon us. In him we have this. In him we have forgiveness. Now, I want everybody to turn there. Flip to Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we've seen who we are in him. We're seeing what we can do through him. So let's look at that again. What does this say? What is this telling us? Those who receive, we're the receivers, the abundance of grace. So we've all been given an abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. Gift, not earned, gift. We've been given an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And through these, we reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Reign as kings. What does that mean? We reign over other people. It means we reign in our domain. We reign in our household. We reign in that which affects our life. But we do reign, and we reign through the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You've got to know that you've been made righteous in Jesus Christ to be able to stand and do what you're called to do. You've got to know that that's a gift. Therefore, no condemnation comes to you.
Amen.
Because righteousness is a gift. And if you fall short of the glory of God, you see that we're forgiven through His blood. And you pray 1 John 1:9. And He cleanses you and washes you and restores you. Back to righteousness. You've got to know that you're righteous so that you can reign. If you don't feel like you're good enough and you're measuring up to where you should be, it's guilt, it's shame, it's condemnation, and it doesn't leave you in a position of reigning, but it leaves you in a position of insecurity and feeling inferior. God did not want you in that position. He wanted you reigning. He wanted you reigning. So He made sure that you were given an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so that you could use those to reign in Him. In Him you reign. You are an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you reign with Him. Now let's look at Ephesians 2:10. It says that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And we're going to just stop it right there. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Well, that right there tells us that if we're His workmanship, right? Because we've been made a new creature, not redone like recovering the sofa, but completely made a new creature. If He made us a new creature, and we already have seen that He put in us the nature of God, the Spirit of God, then we need to be very careful how we talk about what He made. You know, when you want to get around an artist, if you want favor from the artist, you want to be careful about how you talk about the artist's work. And so you don't want to have just your mind set on you and your part or your responsibility, but also looking at God's perspective. He says that He created you. You're His workmanship. Therefore, you're valuable, precious, 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 precious. So talk about yourself that way. And self-talk about yourself that way. In the mirror, when you're getting dressed in the morning, before you go to bed, when you wake up, your best friend is yourself. It may be Jesus, but it's also yourself. Talk to yourself. You build yourself up. You strengthen yourself. How do you do it? With the Word. By being in agreement with God and saying what He said. You need to be building yourself up and telling yourself who you are and what you can do, who you are in Him. And if kind of thoughts come to you or flashes of your past, you say, no, that was washed in the blood. Yeah. It's been forgiven. Yeah. God doesn't remember it anymore, and I'm like God, and I'm not going to remember it anymore. Right. I'm not going to remember other people's sins. I've forgiven their sins, but I'm not going to remember my shortcomings. I'm not going to remember my sin. If God doesn't, I'm going to be like God. I'm not going to. My mind is on Christ. My mind is on things above, not on things on the earth. My mind is on things above. That now, let's not get flaky. You know, we're still to do our job. We're still to do work. We still work here on the earth. But do you understand what I'm saying in that? You know what that word means. Your thinking is spiritual, not fleshly. You're thinking of things that will bring you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Your mind is set on the Word of God. You're renewing your mind on the Word of God. Those crime shows where they show murdered victims on TV are not really going to help you renew your mind. The blood, the gore, the guts, really. It's not supposed to go into households. That kind of horror, close-ups of gore, of horror, is not supposed to go into households. I don't think that that was God's intention when He had somebody come up with the idea of TV and media. Let's put how people get slaughtered and let's put all this evil and put it into every household now. I don't think so. Those images won't renew your mind. It's the Word of God that will renew your mind. Relaxation is good. Entertainment is fine. If it is fine, you want to be renewing your mind on the Word of God. Acts 17:28 says, For in Him we live and move and have our being. We could spend a lot of time on that one right there. In Him we live and move and have our being. Let's take that one, for example, and turn that one into a confession. How do we do that? Well, you can sit there and you can start meditating on that verse. Father God, I pray that you would help me to turn this into a confession, that you would bring life out of that verse to me in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Father God, I thank you that in you I live and move and have my being. You are my life and my strength. You are my source. You are my source for energy. You are better than any caffeine. You are better than anything else that can be supplied to man, because you are the creator of it all anyway. You are God, and you are God in me, and your life is radiating in me and through me. And the life of Christ is evident. You said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works. And I thank you that I don't put my light under a peck measure, but that the light of Christ shines out from me. The light of Christ is shining out from me because I'm tapped into you. I'm tapped into my spirit. I'm spirit-led. I'm spirit-led, and I'm spirit-ruled. And I'm speaking now out of my spirit, not my flesh. And I'm speaking in line with your word. And I say, in you I live and move and have my being. You are my life. You are my source. I thank you that that source is radiating through my entire being right now. It's radiating through my physical being. It's radiating through my soul. It's affecting my will. It's affecting my thoughts, your life, the light of Christ. It's affecting my body. My body is healed because your life is in me. Do you see how you just take it and you turn it into a confession? What does he bring up to you? What do you need? Let it come up from the inside. Okay, he only gives you a couple verses there, but you know enough verses from other places that you can start speaking out of your spirit and building yourself up. This is who you are in him. He is your life. In him you do live and move and have your being. And boy, that'll change the atmosphere around you. That'll buoy you up, strengthen you. Cut through any opposition, because it's truth. Yes. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him. Again, we're talking about who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Through him. You're more than a conqueror through Christ. You're more than a conqueror. Now, that's not just the only verse we have there on that. We know that he always causes us to triumph. We've got several on this. So we've got to take hold with that. No matter what your past experience has been, take hold with that. Speak that out. I know a minister, when we were at Rhema, put one of those verses right on their desk so they'd see it all the time. Thanks be to God that always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. That they would see that all the time. Always, to get that into their spirit. They just would meditate on that, see that all the time. And boy, the Lord's using them mightily. What were they doing? Meditating on the Word, feeding their spirit on the Word, staying in the Word. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us, his hope is that you're going to fulfill this and walk out this verse. His hope in you is that you're going to function as more than a conqueror. His hope in you is that you're going to go ahead and take a hold of this word and walk this word out. His hope in you is that this word is fulfilled in you and in your life. His hope is that you grab a hold of it and you believe it and you speak it.
Amen.
That's his hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is all of these things in you. This is who he is in you. Praise the Lord. You didn't. Eternal life is fabulous. And if that's what we got was eternal life and that was the end, I think we all would have been happy and satisfied. But he didn't stop there, because he didn't come just to give you life, but he brought an abundance.
Amen.
An abundance, an overflow, a more than enough. See, he didn't just say that you were a conqueror. He said you are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. It means there has been more than enough supplied to you for this to be made real in your life. You're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror in everything you face. We're going to look at two other scriptures and then we'll close. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1, 4 through 6. Okay, I'll start with verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now let's skip to verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together. We're talking about Christ in us, right? Christ in us. Who is Christ in us? Who are we with Christ in us? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This earth is a temporary dwelling place for you. You have been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is good news. Yeah. Now, since we're in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, again, to close, I'm going to say this. The promises are real and they're true. You've got to get them to be real and true in your life. And that's by believing them and speaking them out of your mouth. You've got to say them. You've got to be saying the word. You've got to be in agreement with God, confessing the promises. Praise be to God, we've been raised up and seated with him in heavenly places. When you know you're seated with him in heavenly places, then the real estate market won't bother you.
Amen. That's right.
Where you live in this earth won't bother you because you know it's all temporary anyway. Amen. Seated with Christ in heavenly places. Glory to God. Glory to God. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Past tense, has, meaning he's already done it. So just tap into it. Father God, I thank you that we are already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I thank you that we have been raised up with Christ and seated with him in heaven. I thank you for it, Father God. Thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you that you've given us the gift of righteousness. An abundance of grace that we may reign in life through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, that we speak from our spirit, man. I thank you that we speak out of our spirit so that we're in line with your word. I thank you, Father God, that as we speak out the word, Amen. Any thoughts that don't line up with that are cast down. Because we know that your Bible also says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive. And it says to think on these things, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's of good report. Yes, Father God, so we thank you that those things that are lovely and pure, it's your word. Because your word is truth. And your words are life. So we believe your truth. We believe your life. And we think on it. We cast down thoughts that are against your word. And we speak your word out of our mouth. We speak your word. We speak your word. We speak your word. We thank you that you've given us everything that we need to be successful, victorious, more than conquerors on this earth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.